This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, 9th chapter, text 34. Manmana bhavamadbhakto
Manmana bhavamadbhakto
Madhyaji mam namaskuru
Madhyaji mam namaskuru
Mami vaishasi yuktvaivam
Mami vaishasi yuktvaivam
Atmanam matparayanah
Atmanam matparayanah
Matmanah. Always thinking of me.
Always thinking of me.
Bhava,
Bhava.
Become.
Become.
Mat,
Mat.
My.
My.
Bhaktaha,
Bhaktaha.
Devotee.
Devotee.
Mat,
Mat.
My.
My.
Yaji,
Yaji.
Worshipper.
Worshipper.
Mam,
Mam.
Unto me.
Unto me.
Namaskuru,
Namaskuru.
Offer obeisances.
Offer obeisances.
Mam,
Mam.
Unto me.
Unto me.
Eva,
Eva.
Completely.
Completely.
Eshasi,
Eshasi.
You will come.
You will come.
Yukta,
Yukta.
Being absorbed.
Being absorbed.
Evam,
Evam.
Thus.
Thus.
Atmanam,
Atmanam.
Your soul.
Your soul.
Your soul.
Matparayanaha,
Matparayanaha. Devoted to me.
Devoted to me.
Engage your mind.
Engage your mind
in always thinking of me.
Engage your mind in always thinking of me.
Just listen. That's what this is for. Engage your mind in always thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances to me and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. Purport. In this verse, it is clearly indicated that Krishna consciousness is the only means of being delivered from the clutches of this contaminated material world. Sometimes, unscrupulous commentators distort the meaning of what is clearly stated here, that all devotional service should be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Unfortunately, unscrupulous commentators divert the mind of the reader to that which is not at all feasible. Such commentators do not know that there is no difference between Krishna's mind and Krishna. Krishna is not an ordinary human being. He is absolute truth. His body, his mind, and he himself are one and absolute. It is stated in the Kurma Purana, as it is quoted by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami in his Anupasya comments on Chaitanya Charitamrita, 5th chapter, Adi Lila, verses 41 through 48, Deha Dehi Vibhedo Yam Neshware Vidyate Kuchit. This means that there is no difference in Krishna, the Supreme Lord, between himself and his body. But because the commentators do not know this science of Krishna, they hide Krishna and divide his personality from his mind or from his body. Although this is sheer ignorance of the science of Krishna, some men make profit out of misleading people. Manmana bhava madbhakta madhyaji mam namaskuru Mami Vaishasi Yuktvaivam Atmanam Matparayana. Srila Prabhupada mentions that there are commentators who divert the mind to something which is not at all feasible. He means, of course, to something impersonal. Klesho Tikataraste Sham Avyakta Sakta Chaitasam. In the 12th chapter, the Lord clearly says that those who are trying to fix their mind on something impersonal are simply letting themselves in for trouble and more trouble. Klesha tikataras, trouble and more trouble. And so, such a difficult method, and not recommended here. Manmana, Krishna clearly says, Manmana, think of me, not of something within me, not of something impersonal. And Srila Prabhupada comments here and elsewhere that there's no difference between Krishna's within and without. There's one particular commentator that Srila Prabhupada had it in for, who commented that it's not on Krishna that we have to fix our minds. It's not to Krishna that we have to surrender, but to the unborn, impersonal something or other within Krishna. And therefore Prabhupada has quoted this verse. Actually, this verse that Prabhupada quotes from the Kurma Purana was not in Prabhupada's original purport, but he wrote to me after the book was published and said, please add this, because while he was translating Chaitanya Charitamrita and writing his commentary, he must have come upon this quotation given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his Chaitanya Charitamrita commentary, and Prabhupada wrote me a letter specifically directing me, add this. Deha dehi vibhedo yam na ishure vidyate kuchit. Deha dehi vibhed means a difference between the body and the person whose body it is. With us, there is such a distinction. The body is one thing, and I'm another thing. The body is temporary, and the soul is eternal. The body is full of ignorance, and the soul is by nature full of knowledge. So there's a distinction. My body is not myself, and this is self-realization, to understand that I'm not this body, that I'm spirit soul. But Ishvara, in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, kochit, never is there any distinction. Na Ishvara kochit. In Krishna, there's no distinction between himself and his body. He's different from us. I'm different from my body. Krishna is the same as, you know, we say, you're not this body, but you don't say that to Krishna. He is his body. He is his body. His body, his mind, himself, they're all identical. Because his form is Satchidananda, eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. Therefore, there's no distinction. His body is spiritual. And he himself is spiritual, so there's no distinction. Body and self are one. And for us, body and self are different. So the, as Prabhupada says, unscrupulous commentators, or those who are in sheer ignorance of the science of Krishna, propose such a distinction. They say that Krishna, when he says, me, he means something within himself, not knowing that there's no difference between himself and what's within himself. He's the same. Krishna and his body are the same. So, Prabhupada, elsewhere in the fourth chapter, says that there are two kinds of commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, those written by the devotees and those written by the demons. The demons are those who are Viparyaya, Vishnu Bhakta Smita Daiva. The godly persons are those who are devoted to the lotus feet of Krishna. Om Tad Vishnu Padamam Padam Sada Pashati Surya. The suras or the devas are always devoted to the lotus feet of Vishnu. And asuras tad viparyayo, the asuras, the demons, are just the opposite. They're against surrender. Namam duskrita namuta prabhyante nuradama. Maya pratagana asura bhavam ashrita. They refuse. They refuse to surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord, because they're miscreants, the lowest of mankind, because their knowledge has been stolen by illusion, and because they're of a demonic temperament, an atheistic temperament. So there are such men who dare to comment on Bhagavad Gita from their own angle of vision. They don't accept Krishna or the words of Krishna, but they use the Bhagavad Gita as a vehicle for propounding their own philosophical speculations. This is the approach of the demons. And just the opposite, the devotees are bhajanti ananya manaso gyatva bhutanam avyayam. They take shelter of Krishna. Mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakritim ashrita. They take shelter of Krishna and his divine energy, knowing that Krishna is the origin of everything. And they engage in his devotional service, ananya manasa, with undeviating minds. In other words, they're pure devotees. The commentaries written by the pure devotees are actually valuable. The Bhagavad Gita is spoken to Arjuna because Arjuna is a pure devotee of the Lord. Bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam hyetarutamam. My dear Arjuna, I'm speaking this science to you, bhaktosi, because you're my devotee. Me sakha cheti, and you're my friend. Rahasyam hyetarutamam. And therefore you can understand this Gita rahasya, secret. It's not such an open thing. It's open, but it's only open to those who are the devotees of the Lord. Those who are devotees can understand it, and those who are non-devotees, even though it's right there in front of them in black and white, they can't get it. It's an interesting way of having a secret. You can publish it, and still, they won't understand it. And the devotees will right away understand. So, there are those who are demonic. They also think of Krishna, but enviously, just like King Kamsa, Krishna's uncle. He was also thinking of Krishna always, but he thought of Krishna as his enemy. He was always in anxiety, wondering when Krishna would come to kill him. That kind of thinking will not help us. One should be thinking of Krishna in devotional love. That is bhakti. One should cultivate the knowledge of Krishna continuously. What is that favorable cultivation? It is to learn from a bona fide teacher. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we have several times explained that his body is not material, but is eternal, blissful knowledge. This kind of talk about Krishna will help one become a devotee. Understanding Krishna otherwise from the wrong source will prove fruitless. So, anukulyena Krishna anushilana. It's not enough that we fix our minds on Krishna, but we should fix our minds on Krishna favorably. Not like Kamsa, he was also thinking of Krishna, but that's not counted as Krishna consciousness or devotional service. It's Krishna consciousness, but unfavorable. Really, Krishna consciousness means favorable. Anukulyena Krishna anushilanam. So this favorable cultivation is performed under proper guidance. When we're guided by a pure devotee of Krishna, who instructs us that Krishna is the personality of Godhead, then we advance favorably. The materialist may think of Krishna as someone who's translating Bhagavad Gita, so naturally he has to think of Krishna. But he thinks of Krishna in a dismissive way, in a materialistic way, in an envious way. And therefore, he doesn't fulfill the next line. Although he may think of Krishna, manmana, bhavamad bhakta, no. He doesn't become a devotee of Krishna. He becomes an enemy of Krishna. He tries to explain Krishna away. He relegates Krishna to the position of a hero or a myth or one of many gods or somehow or other, or a symbol for something higher. But he doesn't devote himself to Krishna because he factually doesn't understand Krishna. But a pure devotee, he thinks of Krishna favorably, cultivates Krishna consciousness, and bhavamad bhakta, he becomes fully devoted to Krishna. He becomes fully devoted to Krishna, bhavamad bhakta. Madhyaji, he worships Krishna, and mam namaskuru, he always offers obeisances to Krishna. One should therefore engage his mind in the eternal form, the primal form of Krishna, with conviction in his heart that Krishna is the Supreme. He should engage himself in worship. There are hundreds of thousands of temples in India for the worship of Krishna, and devotional service is practiced there. When such practice is made, one has to offer obeisances to Krishna. One should lower his head before the deity and engage his mind, his body, his activities, everything. That will make one fully absorbed in Krishna without deviation. This will help one transfer to the Krishna Loka. One should not be deviated by unscrupulous commentators. One must engage in the 9 different processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting about Krishna. Pure devotional service is the highest achievement of human society. So this is practical. Someone says, well, how do I offer obeisances to Krishna? And here the answer given is that there are so many temples, the deity is there, and one can offer oneself before the Lord. The worship of the deity helps us in appreciating the personal identity of the Lord. Because in our present contaminated condition, we can't see Krishna always within our hearts. Krishna appears in the form of the deity, and one can offer him a fruit, flower, leaf, water. One can see him, one can offer obeisances to him, one can serve him. The deity worship is a great opportunity for the conditioned souls to understand the personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada says this will help one. The deity worship is practical. The philosophy is, in one sense, theoretical. Anyone can philosophize, or anyone can hear the philosophy and get the idea. But the deity worship is effective. The deity worship is practical. We're instructed, offer obeisances to me. Well, that's the theory, that's the instruction. And now the deity worship makes it practical. All right, let me go into the temple and offer my obeisances to Krishna. Krishna says, offer me leaf or flower. So the deity worship makes it practical. Let me offer Krishna some fruits, grains, milk products. So the deity worship enables one to get practical realization of the philosophical understanding that the Lord is speaking of here in Bhagavad Gita. So we should engage in the service of the deity, or, as Prabhupada mentions, 9 methods of devotional service. Chanting is also practical. Manmana, think of me. So how does one think of Krishna? How does one fix the mind on Krishna? How does one keep the mind from wandering here and there and thinking of everything else? So here again, it's practical. Thinking, especially in Kali Yuga, is most easily accomplished by chanting. By chanting Hare Krishna, we place the Maha Mantra within our field of attention, within our mind. And then the mind is fixed on Krishna. And as there's no difference between the form of Krishna and Krishna, There's no difference between the name of Krishna and Krishna. So one whose attention is fixed on the holy name of Krishna has his attention fixed on Krishna. There's no difference, no distinction. So this is the practical way to think of Krishna, especially in Kali Yuga. Silent meditation will be exceedingly difficult. The mind wanders here, there, and everywhere. But chanting is simple and practical. Anyone can chant Hare Krishna. And with some attention, the mind becomes fixed on Krishna, becomes fixed on the holy name, or fixed on Krishna, no difference. So, at hearing, when the mind is, when you're chanting, then you're hearing, or we're listening to someone else chant. So, chanting, hearing, shravanam, kirtanam, and smaranam, the naturally thinking of Krishna is included. Padasevanam, rendering service to the lotus feet of the Lord, offering worship, offering prayers, all of the nine items of devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada says this is the highest achievement in human society. The great achievements of human society are not the building of great cities, the discovery of great scientific principles. These great scientific advancements don't really elevate human society above the level of the cats and dogs. It just makes us technologically capable cats and dogs. The cats and dogs are fighting with their claws, and we're fighting with whatever the latest smart missile is. The missile is probably smarter than the person who invented it. But it's the same business, it's fighting. The cats and dogs are fighting, and we're fighting. And we think that we're smart because we've figured out how to spend half of our money on fighting. Half the government expenditure generally is for so-called defense, means fighting. And this is advancement of human civilization, that previously we could fight with one another by throwing stones and bricks. Now we can throw nuclear weapons and all sorts of other fancy stuff. What do they call those? Those little... they have things... Now they have something because everyone hates nuclear weapons, so they've got these little spray bombs. Not cluster bombs. This is better than a cluster bomb. Cluster bombs are okay. But if you want something better, there's something that spreads a fine mist of petroleum in every direction and then ignites it. No, it's not napalm. It's something else. Napalm is like a little local, the opposite of a local anesthetic. It's a local lethal thing. But it's a weapon. It's old hat now. They're working on better things, I'm sure. But you spread a fine mist. So you get essentially all of the benefits of a nuclear weapon without nuclear radiation. So it's clean, you see, clean energy. Anyway, basically it's the same business, it's fighting and killing. So they're advanced in fighting and killing, but that doesn't really mean that they've reached the pinnacle of human success. No. So many speculations, so many, previously they could talk prajalpa over the clothesline or over the fence, now they can talk over the internet, the same prajalpa. That's not advancement. Advancement means mami vaishasi yukta vaiva, to be hooked up with Krishna. They're hooked up with maya, interconnected and communicating at the fastest speeds. But what are they communicating? Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So this is animal life. The birds are communicating, they're chirp, chirp, chirping about eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And we're on, internet broadband, with the same thing, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So no, yes. So this is the same business. But the highest achievement of human society is pure devotional service, to be reconnected with the personality of Godhead. And mukta sangha pram brajate, get out of this material existence and go back to Godhead. The 7th and 8th chapters of Bhagavad Gita have explained pure devotional service to the Lord that is free from speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, and fruitive activities. Those who are not purely sanctified may be attracted by different features of the Lord, like the impersonal Brahmajyoti and localized Paramatma, but a pure devotee directly takes to the service of the Supreme Lord. There's a beautiful poem about Krishna in which it is clearly stated that any person who is engaged in the worship of demigods is most unintelligent and cannot achieve at any time the supreme award of Krishna. The devotee in the beginning may sometimes fall from the standard, but still he should be considered superior to all other philosophers and yogis. One who always engages in Krishna consciousness should be understood to be a perfect saintly person. His accidental non-devotional activities will diminish, and he will soon be situated, without any doubt, in complete perfection. The pure devotee has no actual chance to fall down, because the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Godhead, personally takes care of his pure devotees. Therefore, the intelligent person should take directly to the process of Krishna consciousness and happily live in this material world. He will eventually receive the supreme award of Krishna. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 9th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of the most confidential knowledge. Any questions?
I am far from performing devotional service perfectly. How do I know if this is accepted by Krishna?
Well, we have to... Actually, we're not directly serving Krishna because we're not perfect. So we try to serve our spiritual master, and the spiritual master serves Krishna. That's our process. That we know that we're not, at the present moment, qualified. We can't just stroll into Goloka Vrindavan and help Krishna out with some service. We're not on that platform. So we simply try to serve the spiritual master, and the service is conveyed through the disciplic succession to Krishna. And Prabhupada says the mystery of the disciplic succession is that this process is simultaneously through the disciplic succession and direct at the same time. So we are confident that if we're serving according to the instructions of the spiritual master, then our service will be accepted. We know that we're not pure devotees of the highest standard. We know that we're in the practice stage. But because we're practicing under proper direction, we have some confidence that our service will be accepted as long as we're following the directions of the bona fide spiritual master. If we're concocting something, if we're doing something in our own way, then we don't know. Or we may believe it'll be accepted, but that belief may not be very well founded. Not that I can do anything and everything, and the spiritual master says, oh, that's nice. One has to obey the instructions, follow the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master sincerely and seriously. And if there's some shortcoming, then Krishna will take up the slack. Krishna will help us. We're confident of that also. Krishna, seeing the sincere attempt of the devotee, helps. Nityayuktabhiyuktanam yogakshemabhanyam.
Is it possible to develop one's consciousness to see things exactly like the way Krishna sees them?
interesting question. Is it possible to develop one's consciousness to see things exactly like Krishna sees them? No, because we're not exactly like Krishna. But we can see things following the way Krishna sees them. Just like Krishna, he sees, so here's a devotee. Even though he's imperfect, even though he may sometimes have fallen from the standard, he's steadfastly trying to serve me. So he's a devotee. Krishna has that vision. So knowing that Krishna has that vision, when we follow Krishna, we may also say, no, here's a devotee. He's following Krishna's instructions. So we don't, may not see exactly like Krishna, but our vision can follow the direction of Krishna, or follow, can be in accord with Krishna's vision. Krishna, his vision is unlimited. His vision is supreme. So we're not Krishna, so we won't have Krishna's vision. But our vision can be consistent with, or harmonious with, or linked with Krishna's vision.
The process of sadhana bhakti, if followed steadfastly, should lead to absorption in Krishna. How does one overcome the obstacles in devotion?
Well, that's a big topic, of course. In summary, one overcomes the obstacles by practice itself. Sadhana bhakti means to steadfastly follow. And what is that practice? Practice means overcoming obstacles. If there's no obstacles, there's no real practice. You're there from the beginning. But there are some obstacles, there's some difficulty, there's some distance between ourselves and the goal. So therefore, practice. And that practice, if steadfastly adhered to, will bring us to the, it will bring us past obstacles. Another answer is that we overcome obstacles by depending on Krishna and the spiritual master. By our own strength, what obstacles will we overcome? Mama Maya Duratya. Maya, the obstacle is Maya. And Maya is insurmountable. So we have an insurmountable obstacle blocking our way. But Mama Vyaya Prapadyante Maya Metam Duratite. Krishna says, if someone surrenders to me, then he overcomes this obstacle, this Maya illusion. But we know, on our own power, we can't overcome the obstacles. The obstacles are empowered by the formidable illusory energy. But when we depend on Krishna, then Krishna will enable us to overcome these obstacles. Krishna, or the representative of Krishna. Prabhupada gives the example that you're pedaling on your bicycle, you're going at a certain speed. But if you grab onto the back of a lorry, then all of a sudden, zoom, you're going at another speed. So that's our process, that we're holding on to Krishna. And although we would normally be going at, you know, a very slow pace, all of a sudden we're moving along. So this is our method. We depend on Krishna and the spiritual master.
Is the discrimination of the Supreme Lord a big sin if done by a non-devotee? Discrimination? Description? Will it be okay if one can mentally obliterate that person? I'm not quite sure if I get it, but
the materialists who are trying to describe Krishna by their own speculative method, or who are describing Krishna as being different from his body and so on, are offenders. Maya body vai Krishna Bharati Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Maya bodies are pakka offenders of Krishna.
And this is an interesting exercise to mentally obliterate them.
I'm not sure whether that means wipe them out of our minds or, you know, mentally zap them out of existence. Anyway, better if we're going to zap them out of existence, mentally is better than physically. Violence is illegal, even if the person is a Mayavadi. But the real thing is, we should avoid the Mayavadis. Mayavadi pashishu nileya poi sarvanasha. If we hear from the impersonalists, then we can lose everything. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised us, strictly we should avoid hearing from the impersonalist school, the exponents of the impersonalist school. They should be avoided assiduously.
Could you explain the position of Lord Shiva? Lord Shiva is the servant of Krishna.
Vaishnavanam yata shambhum. Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee of Lord Krishna. He's almost in the same level as the Lord, but not quite. Because the Lord is never in touch with the material energy, and Lord Shiva is married to the material energy. His wife, Parvati, is the goddess of the material energy. So Lord Vishnu never comes in touch with the material energy. But Lord Shiva is always in touch with the material energy. So his position is not quite on the same level as that of the Lord. Shiram yata tadhi vikara vishesha yoga sanjayate mahita tak pratagasti heto yasambhutam apitata samupaiti karga govindamadi purushantam anajani. Yogurt is milk, but it's not quite milk because it's been affected by contact with some sour substance like lemon or tamarind. So the milk can be turned into yogurt, but yogurt can't be restored to the position of milk. So Lord Vishnu includes Lord Shiva, but Lord Shiva is not quite on the position of Lord Vishnu.
You quoted Bhaktosi Me Sakha Cheti, wherein Krishna says that he will
reveal the secret of transcendental knowledge because Arjuna is his friend as well as devotee. What is the significance of Krishna specifically listing these two qualifications, friend and devotee? Does this also mean that one can be a devotee without being a friend of Krishna, and vice versa? I think that would be reading too much into it. Arjuna was Krishna's friend, Sakha. There's the relationship was friend and friend. So, because you're my friend, I'll explain. And friend means he had to be Krishna's friend, you have to be my devotee. There's not... I don't see a particular... Of course, you can be a devotee and be in another particular relationship. You can be in a parental relationship or whatever. But even that... So Arjuna is particularly a friend of Krishna. So Arjuna is... Krishna is saying, you're my friend, I'll explain. It's just, it's straightforward. I don't think we have to
read something special into it. I read somewhere that Krishna is also there for a sinner. What happens to him when he hurts others?
What happens to the sinner when he hurts others? Is that the question? Krishna's there for the sinner means, just like the judge, he's there for the innocent man, and he's there for the criminal. So, but he's there in different ways. For the innocent man, he's there to give protection, to give all of the benefits of legal help. And for the criminal, he's there to give all the punishments due by law. So Krishna is there for the yayata mam prapadyante tapstatai vipajami. As one approaches Krishna, Krishna reciprocates. For one who wants to be
illegal, just like the government. The government will send you to college or the government will send you to prison. It depends how you approach the government. So, same thing. Krishna is there for the sinner. Krishna is there for the pious person or the devotee.
When will those demonic commentators come to realize the secret of Krishna? When Kalki comes. The Tanaham Dushatakuran Sansadeshu Naranaman Shripam Yashripam Ashripam Asrish Devi Onishu. Asrish Vedi Yonishu, then Asrim Yonimapana Bhuta Janmani Janmani Mama Prapyaiva Kantya Tatoli Anti Adamangita. Krishna says that those who are envious and mischievous, the lowest among men, who are simply demonic, Tanaham Dushita Kruran, who are performing cruelty to others, as commentators do by misrepresenting Krishna. Sangsureshu Naranaman Kshipami, I throw them down. Kshipami Adhisrama Shubhan Ashrishu Eva Yonishu. I put them into the demonic species of life. Asurim Yonimapanna Mudha Janmani Janmani. And they're born again and again in those demonic species. Mama Prapyaiva Kontiya. They don't attain me. Tato yanti adamam gatam. They go down to the lowest destination. So the prognosis is not very good for these commentators who are misrepresenting Krishna. Only if they get special mercy from a pure devotee of the Lord can they expect to understand the secret of Bhagavad Gita. That is to see how they're messing up. And it may happen, just like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was a great Mayavadi, but he got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became a great devotee of the Lord. So it's possible if someone gets the mercy of a devotee, even a hunter became a great devotee by the mercy of Narad Muni. So even these great Mayavadi commentators, if they get the mercy of the Lord, then, or mercy of a devotee of the Lord, they can't really expect the mercy of the Lord, but if they get the mercy of the Lord's devotee, then they may also come to understand Krishna. But that, otherwise not. Right, any other question? How are we doing on time? Shall we stop here? Okay, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.